This is Matthew 16 to 13 and 19. When Jesus came to the region of
Caesarea Philippi,
he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven."
Thank you. So the kingdom agenda. Last week we talked about what it means to be a part of God's kingdom, God's kingdom business. God's kingdom business is really wrapped up in two things that you'll find in your outline this morning. And number one, it's wrapped up in the vision of Squim Community Church. We are responding to the Great Commission by encouraging unchurched people and de-churched people to join us as we become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Establishing the kingdom of God in an individual life, and then gathering together to understand, to work out what it means to be the church. The Great Commission. Notice what it says. It says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, that's important because that's all about joining. It's all about commitment, not only commitment to God, but commitment to other believers. We're all baptized in one Spirit, and therefore we share the same Spirit. And it doesn't matter whether that's Squim Community Church or a church that meets in the name of Jesus Christ on the other side of the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of the visible and the invisible. Those we know and those, well, we won't meet till we get to heaven. Kingdom business is about kingdom belonging. We live in an age where most people belong before they believe. Isn't it interesting? They belong to a group before they understand what it's all about. And last week, I think we laid out the basics. What do we need to know to get into a relationship with God? We laid that out last week, and if you're on live stream and you missed it last week, just go to the archive of last week and you can look at it. By the way, I'll say hi to my three followers in Fresno, California that are on live stream today. Yes, I'm going to Modesto after that. Just kidding. What does it mean to belong to the church? First, it means belonging to Jesus, as we mentioned last week. Let's do a little review. How do we know that we really belong to Jesus? I've had people ask me that question, well, more than a few times in ministry. You know that you've asked Jesus to be the leader of your life because you have this knowledge that you are now following the Father. And I understand, Father, maybe that's not the best term to use. You have a knowledge that God is leading your life, and that now your life has made that switch. You're not living for yourself anymore, but you're living to carry out God's agenda in your life. Jesus says, "All these things have been handed over to me by my Father. to everyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. Well, God's chosen to reveal himself to you. We did a lot of revealing last week. What is this Christianity all about? Is it really a religion? And no, it's not. It's a relationship. And this first element really relates to that. Do we have a knowledge that God is our Father, that God is leading our life, that we're now moving in a different direction, and it may not be all that radical? As I like to illustrate it, it's like turning over and moving over. Everybody turns over. My wife was raised in a Christian home, and her turning over process was very natural and gentle. Mine was a little bit more like a fighter plane snap roll. Now, the other thing that's true is everybody has to move over. Again, my wife was raised in a Christian home. She didn't have to move over very far. Those of us that weren't in a Christian home have to move over a long ways. But everybody turns over and everybody moves over. How do we know? Oh, because we know that God is leading our life. Number two, we have a hunger to understand the Bible. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But God reveals himself to us in his word, and he uses the Bible as the way to help us make progress in a godly direction. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, so that we may be completely equipped for every good work. Who wants to miss out on a good thing? Nobody does. If you don't want to miss out on the good thing that God is doing, then you need to read your Bible every day. In fact, not only read it, but apply it to your life on a day-to-day basis. That's why I think it's so important that you get into a Bible study, or you become a part of a small group that studies the Bible. Why then it's a regular part of what you do. That helps you funnel your daily reading of the Bible into an application point in your small group. You know you've made the switch when you want to pray to God daily. A regular time of praying with God. We often do that in a specific way, but we also carry that with us all day long, don't we? We're carrying on this conversation with God. I don't know if you do, but I do. I do. What is it you want me to say or don't say? What do you want me to do or not do in this circumstance? The next one's a big one. It's a big one. Do we understand the seriousness of our sin? For the grace of God is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Are we fighting the fight between our old nature and our new nature? Now, that's not a fight you're going to win on your own, by the way. Willpower is not enough power, and if you think that's not true, just start looking around at how compelling things are in this world that are evil, that are bad, that are just not good for us. And we can't resist the feel, the force of a lot of things. And we need a power outside of us, and that power comes as we resist doing what we're not supposed to do, what we know is not good. And you know, start with the big stuff. That's a good way to start. And then make your way. You'll know you're making progress as a Christian because you've addressed a lot of big things. Now you're on to the medium things. And then once you start getting a handle on some of the medium things, now you're ready to move into the things that are a little bit smaller. But we need to be progressing. We need to understand the seriousness of our sin, the cost of our sin. And no, if you're showing up and you say that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life, and then you just head out and go sin all the time, well, what I can say is when you understand the seriousness of your sin, well, you know you belong to God. You know that He's your Lord and your Savior. That you're fighting the good fight on a day-to-day basis. Another proof that you've made the switch and you're on your way as a Christian is you'll find that you have an urgent love for the unchurched. An urgent love for the de-churched, an urgent love to that person that you know in your sphere of influence that you can assume is on the way to hell unless you do something about that. Here's the great thing. How many people became a Christian through a relationship with somebody that was a Christian? Yeah. Statistically, it's a majority of us. We become Christians because somebody became our spiritual tour guide. Now, me, I was just a project. I was. I showed up at a youth thing. We were playing football out in the park at Griffith Park. I had met the intern the week before at the beach where he shared the four spiritual laws with me. He said, any of that new? I said, that part about knowing Jesus personally. Now, I might have been told that, but I don't remember being told that before. And so the next week, he literally pulled three of the wildest guys in the youth group aside, and he pointed me out. He said, see that guy playing football right there? If you do not become his friend, he will not become a Christian. And I was their project. I was lost, and they helped me find Jesus. They called me up and said, hey, what are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going to go to a party, blah, blah, blah. Hey, why don't you come with us? Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to go down to Santa Monica Beach, and we're going to watch the Grunion come in. You're going to watch the Grunion come in, huh? Is there alcohol involved in this? Scantily clad girls? Why would I want to do that? But there was something very authentic that I connected with. They cared about me. They wanted to include me. And sure enough, with those three guys, the pastor, the intern, everybody working. Oh, why did they do that? Why did they take their time to include me and make me a part of their life? Because they had this urgent love and understanding that I was going to hell and I was about halfway there. And they could do something about that. They could include me in the hope that as Jesus had called me, I'd be able to answer. That I'd be well enough emotionally, mentally, physically, that when Jesus knocked at the door of my heart, I could actually hear that knocking and listen for my name. You know you're in the family of God when you have an urgent love for those that are yet to come to be a part of the family. And then finally, it's the idea of the commitment to one another. Are you growing in your commitment to one another? We know that we have passed out of death into life because we have love for one another. Commitment to one another. There are a few things that we're on the bubble in society and in the church overall, and especially here at Squim Community Church. And I think I can boil it all the way down to the idea that, are we committed to one another? Now, I can tell you there's a shift that happens when you begin to be committed to other Christians. I get it. People come for what they get. There's a point at which you realize that coming is not about what I get. It's about what I give. What I give to God. What I give to someone else. What I give to somebody I know and what I give to somebody I don't know. And I'll let you judge your own commitment. How would you define your commitment to the other Christians here at SCC? Are you just taken every week? Letting everybody else serve? Or are you coming with an idea that everybody here is, in essence, your responsibility? That when you show up at worship or an event or a small group, that there's someone that God wants you to love and take care of. And although a physical person pointed me out on that grassy field that day at Griffith Park, the Holy Spirit will do that for you as well. That person, go talk to that person. Go get next to that person. Because God does want to include more and more. He deserves more worshipers, doesn't he? He does. And as we worship God in spirit and in truth, as we go about our life, that can't help but be an influence, an invitation to other people. So how do you know Jesus is leading your life? You know him more. You desire to understand the Word of God. You're communicating with him on a regular basis in prayer. You understand that becoming a Christian is not a license to go sin. In fact, what you'll notice is when you're really in the family of God and you go off sinning, it really doesn't feel like it used to feel. There's a sense that we gather together for a membership that is yet to come. That there are unchurched people and de-churched people, and we want to make sure they spend eternity with us. And then finally, how are we doing one to another? Are we in the giving and taking? Or just the taking and not the giving? That's the kingdom business. Getting people from outside the family of God to inside the family of God. Now let's talk about the family of God. The kingdom of belonging. It's a great title for what the church is all about. Two important things. Number one, the church was established by Jesus Christ. Here's our scripture verse. Notice that Jesus is asking Peter about, notice the conversation starts, who do they say that I am? And then finally Jesus gets around and looks Peter in the eye and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he declares the truth. You're the one and only living Son of God. Here's what Jesus says. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell cannot conquer it. Let me stop for a moment. The comment that somebody said the other day is, who took the lid off of the crazy box? Right? Who found the crazy box? Who opened the lid? And now crazy's everywhere. Do I have to convince you of that? No. No. God wants to push back in the challenge of the world. It's hellish out there. Living out in this world can be very hellish. And it underscores the importance that we gather together because, number two, the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to go out and do something, you're going to face some evil, some resistance, some reluctance. And I believe it's never been harder to invite somebody to church than it is today. And I've been doing this for 42 years. It's never been harder than it is today. I'm going to go to a peer group cluster, get on a plane at O'Dark 100 on Tuesday, and I'm going to go hang out with 40 other guys. Guys, plural. Men and women. And part of what I'm going to say to all of them is, you have never fought this fight like this before. There are very few prevailing winds. There are very few calm days. There are very few simple and easy answers to the questions of society today. And we are the guardians of our society. I had the privilege of speaking at Dave Newport's swearing in the other day. And the comment I made is a quote from another writer. We are the guardians of society. Our role as good fights evil is to keep society from either imploding or exploding. And where would society be without the Christian church? They'd be in big trouble. The difference we're making across the world is impressive. We not only have an impressive history, but we have a very impressive presence right now. And so we have to go, but we got to go with the Spirit, not just with our own human strength. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we all share that same Spirit. Yeah, we experience them a little bit differently because we have a different personality than they do. Our tradition is a little bit different than their tradition, but you know, we're all in the same family. We all worship the same God. We are a part, a member of what Jesus established in Peter, and we know we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We know it. There's two Greek words I didn't have room, so I didn't put it in. Two Greek words. Number one, we're the ekklesia. That's a Greek term for the church. That means to be called out and to be set apart to be holy. And that has to do with what we talked about last week. But we're also koinonia. We're also a loving, encouraging group. So we're called to a great purpose. We're called to a great God. We're called to relationship one to another. And what would mark that as we move about in the Holy Spirit is that it will be a place of caring and encouragement. Place of love. A place of inclusion, not exclusion. See, that's the church. That's the kingdom we belong to. Now, how does that called nature and that caring nature, how does that shake out in a church? And here I'm going to just tell you how it shakes out here at SCC. Number one, we're the body of Christ. And just like a human body, Jesus is the head. And then there are many parts, and everybody's got a part in the body of Christ. If you've gone to step one, you've heard me say that everybody that comes regularly is really a minister. You have a spiritual gift. You're a 10 at something. Go to step three, find out what you're a 10 at, and then get to work. Who would not want to be a part of a church where everywhere you went, everybody was a 10? On a bad day, they're an 8. And of course, every task in the church is important. From just saying hello and giving a little supportive hug to making sure that there's toilet paper in the bathroom. Right? It's all important. As the body of Christ, we work on the basis of our spiritual gift. As we follow Jesus, we add in based on our spiritual gift, on our shape for ministry. Number two, we're a fellowship. Best definition of a fellowship I ever heard of is, hey, it's two fellows in the same ship rowing in the same direction. What happens if one person's rowing one way and the other person's rowing the other way? Dial around in a circle. You think you've been someplace? You feel like you're stuck? So we do have a unity of faith, unity of the Spirit. As a fellowship, we want to strive to concentrate, as Paul puts it, on harmony and unity. And harmony and unity is not an easy thing to keep in a church these days. But that's the call that Paul makes to us in Romans. And so simply, our style of dealing with that is we don't have you vote on everything. You vote on everything important, and we have an elder board, a representative form of government that takes care of most of the business of the church. Well, why don't we vote on everything? Because eventually you take enough votes, and you know what you have? A whole church of losers, right? It doesn't always go your way. And if we have enough votes, then finally you're going to get a no and you're not going to feel good. Trust me, I know you do not like being told no. You don't like being told no. So the way that our fellowship is structured is we have representatives that go before you. You vote them in just like the U.S. government, and they go do the work of the church. The elder board does the business work, and the deacon board does the caring work. Do we switch places and add? And sure we do. We have a representative form of government because we think that leverages into more harmony and unity for our congregation. I can tell you this, it creates a lot less fights amongst people. We're also a family. And just like a regular family, we want to go about what we do as a church not based on rules, but based on relationships. We want to relate to one another. We don't want to have to be calling one another to certain to this list of rules. And many of you have made a comment to me, either in email or in person. You know what's fun about being at Squim Community Church? It seems like you don't have very many rules. I felt there were a lot of rules this other place I was at. No, we don't have a lot of rules. It really, as we relate to one another, it's the second commandment. Love other people the way that you want to be loved. If we just did that every day, our sphere of influence would be a lot more fun. So in our fellowship, we want to go about our business not by rules but by relationships. Very rarely do I have to say in a conversation with someone, well, you know, I am the lead pastor and I've been here for 23 years. No. I do this professionally. Most of the time, hi, I'm Pastor Scott. Let's talk about it. And I prefer that, by the way. I prefer that. I think everybody prefers to move about an organization based on relationship more than rules. And then finally, we're a flock. We're a flock of crazy chickens. We're a flock. You know, even Jesus says, he's looking down on Jerusalem. He says, like a mother hen, I'd love to gather all my chicks in. And as a flock, we need protection. As a flock, we need feeding and caring. Just look at all we talked about in the fall out of Psalm 23. And so as a flock, we've asked people, identified people who can lead you and feed you. Those that can care for you and those that can encourage you. And it's the staff, it's the elders, it's the deacons, it's the Stevens ministers, it's the small group leaders. Count that up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 different groups of people all identified at the same thing, how to care about you, how to encourage you, how to meet your spiritual needs, your emotional needs, and at times even your physical needs. What does it mean to belong to the kingdom of God? Well, it's a little bit like a body. And there are some keen characteristics about a fellowship that apply. We are a family, the family of God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We are sheep, we're a flock, and we need the great shepherd, but we also need other shepherds around us. Simply, as you belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to the community of faith. And my hope is that you not only belong to him, but you enjoy and add in to our community together, because Jesus says to Peter, you know, I'm going to establish this church and it will even hold up against hell, craziness, terrorism, selfishness, injustice, poverty. So you name it, the church is pushing back on evil. We are, as Paul points out in Ephesians, we're in a spiritual battle, and we better suit up. We better suit up. We better suit up and remember that we share the same jersey one to another. And when we're all together, when we're all under God's leadership, well, we can do heavenly things in hellish circumstances of life. Let us pray. Holy Father, I ask that we can grab hold of you once again today. Yeah, we drift and we don't pay attention and all sorts of things. But in this moment, let us just focus on you and nothing else. Lord, also give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hands to move into action. And that might be as close as the person next to us this morning. It might be somebody far away. Lord, together as we connect you and we connect with one another, Lord, you're establishing your church that will storm the gates of hell. That will change and transform people one person at a time. That will gather together and make a positive difference. Lord, enable us to be good tour guides to those around. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord, let us take you with us today as we go. And help us to be in conversation with you each and every day. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.